take a little minute. The minute my system... Oh, start recording.
Yes, Lynn?
Ah.
I'm sorry. I had not had a chance to introduce myself. I'm Cindy Crawford. I'm on here, too. But I'm going to put you on mute because I'm tooling around the house doing a couple of things.
Okay, so you've heard us chatting away.
I've been hearing you, yes, and I'm just waiting on the call. I just wanted to let you know.
We'll be starting any minute now. It's nice to nice to meet you, Cindy.
Lovely to have you on the call. Okay, so we have started recording, so I'm going to move swiftly on because I know we've got people on the webcast as well. So good evening to all of you. This is Marion Ryan of ReadySteadyBlog.com, and tonight we are starting this fantastic tele-seminar called How to Get More Visitors to Your Website, and we will be talking to Lynn Lee, who is the author of SEO is Simple. And I've known Lynn now probably for 2 or 3 years, and I think it's fair to say that Lynn never actually set out to become an SEO expert. She's an accidental expert, I think, because she, in true Lynn professional fashion, she, a couple of years ago, set out to create a website, which she decided to do herself for various reasons, and started finding out what she needed to do to help to optimize her website. And so that was really the beginning of her starting to build her expertise. And it's fair to say that these days she is seen by many as a mentor when it comes to search engine optimization. And this was because, again, once other people... other coaches in particular started asking about, you know, optimization of websites, Lynn invariably was the person who had the answer to their questions. So that's just a little bit about Lynn's background, which I know, Lynn, we don't have time on tonight's call to go into in much more detail than that, but you're very welcome to tonight's call.
Thank you, Marion. Thank you for that introduction, too.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. I know that you have got loads and loads of information to share with us, as you always do, always jam-packed teleseminars. So with your permission, Lynn, can we jump straight in and ask you very simply to start off by explaining to us exactly what we mean when we talk about search engine optimization or SEO?
Yeah. Well, search engine optimization is just making sure that you write your web pages with the search engines in mind. It's the steps that you need to make just to make sure that your pages rank highly in the search engines for your chosen keywords. Because when people use a search engine to find information, the search engines provide results based on the best matches that it can find. So when you optimize your site for the search engines, you're just providing content relevant to the keywords you want to be found for and presenting it in a way that will cause your site to rise in the search engine rankings. So very simply, search engine optimization is making your website findable by setting it up in the way that the search engines like.
Okay, very, very clear explanation there, Lynn. So at the risk of asking an obvious question, why do we need to optimize our websites?
Well, it seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? But you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. Some people seem to think that they can get away without doing it. But the very short answer to that question is so that your site will appear high up in search results. Most people don't actually look beyond the first 3 pages of search results, and over 90% don't even bother to go beyond the first page of search results. So if your site is on the first page of search results, you're just much more likely to get a visit than if you are on page 2 or 3 or way behind on page 100. If you want people to find your website when they're searching, you really need to be on the first page of results or at least on page 2 or 3 to have any chance of being found. Anybody who isn't yet convinced that you need to know about search engine optimization really just needs to go to Google and type in some common words that people would use to find their website. I don't recommend that they type their name or the name of their business, because they're bound to come up fairly close to the top of rankings for that. But just to type in some of their keywords, it could be business coach or virtual assistant or unique handcrafted pens or, I don't know, weight loss, all sorts of things. But and if your website does actually turn up on the first two pages for those terms, then you're doing a really good job already. But if the website doesn't show up, then that means that people can't find you. And if you want business from the internet, you don't want to pay for Google Ads, then you need to be able to optimize your websites and blogs so that they do rank highly in the search engines. If you don't do that, you're going to be virtually invisible to the people that you want to find you, and you won't get many visitors.
I mean, that's absolutely true, Lynn, about, you know, you say the first three pages, but, you know, you also said that the vast majority of people don't go beyond page one, and I would certainly count myself in there. I only ever would go beyond page one if occasionally you find that the results on page one aren't exactly what you're looking for.
Right.
So really, yes, I can absolutely understand. We need to be on one of those first, even couple of pages, perhaps.
You really do. I don't think people realise just how unlikely it is that they'll be found if they're not. It's crucial.
And as you say, not good enough that people can put in your name and find you, because that's fine for the people who already know and love us. But for all those people out there who we could be attracting to our VA business or our quality pen business, but who don't actually know us or our specific business, then we really do need to be optimised on our keywords, which I know you're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yes.
Okay, so Lynn, I introduced you as an expert and mentor, which you are, and you know, perhaps that makes some of us ordinary mortals feel, well, it's okay for her, you know, she's an expert, and I really can't do this myself, and I'm going to need to hire someone to look after this for me. So, you know, is it something that we need other people to do for us, or is it something that actually we can fairly easily learn how to do ourselves?
Well, you can hire somebody to do it for you. I mean, that's a very short answer to that. But the problem with that, of course, is that it will cost a lot of money. Experts don't come cheap. And actually, you can do it yourself once you know the basic steps. I wasn't always an expert. When I started out, I didn't know anything at all. It's actually much simpler than you think. You know, I picked up my SEO knowledge as I planned my sites and as I got on with the business of actually creating my pages. It seems to me that experts like to keep the process shrouded in mystery, and they do make it hard to understand because they use technical terms. They don't speak in a language that we can understand. So really, unless you've got lots of spare cash lying around and you're willing to spend it on having your website optimised, you do need to learn how to do it yourself. And you can, because once you know the basic steps, it's just a matter of being methodical and applying the same principles over and over to every page of your website. There are actually only two parts to search engine optimisation. And that's what we call on-page optimization. That's just providing content-rich pages, making sure you put your keywords where the search engines like to find them. On-page optimization just involves putting the keywords that your potential clients or customers use to find you in all the right places. It's as simple as that. It's important not to guess at the words your potential visitors use to search, because if you target words that they're not using, they won't find you. But if you've researched those words, you know what words they're looking to find you, and you put them in the right places, that's on-page optimization, and it will stand you in good stead. The other part is off-page optimization, and that simply is links to your site, and the more links, the better. So you really can learn how to do search engine optimization yourself. It's not rocket science. steps are very straightforward, and some of the things that you can do, you will begin to see results just in a few days. The steps are extensive keyword research. That's important. Choose a long list of good keywords. Put those keywords in all the right places and get links from other websites using your keywords. And actually, that's all there is to it. If you want good results, I don't suggest that you rush the research phase, because your website needs to have some good foundations. It's worth putting work in at the beginning to make sure you get it right. But really, there are some fine details, obviously, to some of those steps. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. It's just a matter of knowing what the steps are and applying them.
You've mentioned a couple of things there. One is keywords, which I immediately want to come onto in just a second. You've also mentioned links, which, again, I think, you know, we hear these words are becoming more common, you know, links, external links and internal links and keywords, and I'm going to ask you to explain those. But also, Lynn, I just want to, I suppose, just reflect back to you. What I heard you saying is that you talked about, you know, extensive keyword research, but also, you know, having a long list of good keywords. And it will be interesting just to find out a bit more about that, because I'm never quite clear myself whether I want, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 great keywords, or whether I should be getting, you know, as you say, a long list. So let's start with the basics. What exactly do you mean when you talk about keywords?
Okay. Well, keywords are just words that your potential visitors actually type into the search box to find what they're looking for. A keyword can either be a single word or it can be a phrase. People often actually type their problem into the search box. Just some examples of keywords that could be how to write articles. We call that a keyword. Life coach, keyword research, virtual assistant, how to lose weight. Those are keywords.
So when you put
a word or phrase into a search box, that the search engine finds all the web pages that contain that keyword or keyword phrase, and it lists them in the form of search results. They list what they think are the most relevant search results first. So you really want to be considered relevant. You want your page to be considered relevant. That's basically what a keyword is. It's just the words that people use to search for what they're looking for.
And what you're saying there is that actually, you know, it could be, we could be talking about keywords or keyword phrases, but it's the same thing. It isn't necessarily one single word. It could be a phrase, as you said, like how to write articles, or, you know, how to do keyword research could be, I suppose, a keyword.
It certainly is, yeah. You could even go in there now and put how to do effective keyword research, and I'm sure you would find lots of results and have some good clues about how to do it well.
Okay, cool. So why are keywords so important, Lynn?
Well, that's basically because keywords tell the search engines what your page is about. So when you're building a web page, finding the right keyword to build a page around is pretty crucial to your page being found. If you target wrong keywords or phrases that people aren't actually searching for, then you're not going to get very many visitors. But when you target the right keywords, your ideal clients will find it much, much easier to discover your site, because your site's more likely to be listed towards the top of the search engine results. Once you've found the right words and you put them in the right places, you're likely to appear on those first few pages. And if you've got an online business, your business is only going to be successful if enough of your ideal clients can actually find your website. Because you don't just want any old visitor. If you have 1,000 visitors a day, but none of them are really interested in what you've got, then you might as well not have them. You know, what you're really looking for is visitors who are interested in what you're selling. You know, in other words, you want targeted visitors. So if you don't focus your website pages around the keywords your target market are using to search for what you've got, then you're not going to have many visitors to your site, and your potential visitors will just end up on your competitor's site because they did a better job of researching their keywords and putting their website together. Keyword research is really about making sure that the search engines find your website when they're looking for the best results. And you want to make it as easy as possible for the search engines to find your site and display your site at the top. Keywords are the internet equivalent of a big sign that you hang outside the front of your shop telling everybody, you know, about your services and products and what they are, just what you provide. If you're not targeting the right keywords, you could be getting confused visitors who are just not looking to buy what you're selling. You know, so you need to be confident that your keywords are right and providing your business with the target visitors you need if you're going to succeed. Now, if you're not confident that you're targeting the right keywords, you need to do some serious keyword research and make sure that enough people are actually searching using the keywords you've chosen. And if they're not, then you need to find some more. I'll just give you an example. Although the English spelling of optimize and optimization uses an S, I actually chose to use the American spelling, and they use a Z. And the reason I did that was that I discovered that optimization with a Z was searched for 30 times more than optimization with an S. I wanted to make sure that more people were likely to find me. It just pays to be thorough and not to assume anything, not to take anything for granted. The first step in the search engine optimization process is to find the keyword phrases that are going to be the most effective at driving targeted visitors to your site. So make sure you do thorough keyword research if you want lots of targeted visitors. And as I said, don't make assumptions. The second step is to make sure that each of your web pages is constructed around its own keyword phrase. This brings us back to one of the points you brought up earlier, wasn't it? You never know whether to just have four or five keyword phrases or to have a lot more. Each page actually needs to have its own set of keywords. And you do that so that the search engines know that's what the page is focused on and will show searches your web page because it's relevant to their search. So it pays to actually have a long list of keywords, and the reason for that is that it just gives lots of entry points into your site. If you have, let's say you had 20 pages, and it's quite easy to do because each page could simply be an article. It doesn't have to be anything stupendous. Then you're just providing visitors with many, many more ways of actually finding you. One of the things that came up this week, actually, I didn't know this until I was listening to somebody else's seminar, but according to Google, more than 40% of search terms are new. Now, in other words, that means that 4 out of 10 people search using phrases that haven't been used before in searches. So just when you're doing your keyword research, just because people don't use a phrase to search now, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they won't in the future. So if you find a phrase that's not searchable much, but it's a highly targeted phrase that's specific to your niche and describes what you do to a T, then the people who come to your site will be searching specifically for what you offer, and they're more likely to be buyers rather than just surfers. So don't throw out those targeted, highly relevant phrases that aren't searchable much, because they just might bring you in people who won't take much convincing and will actually buy. In the main, you're going to have more success competing for specific phrases than for general ones. If there are millions of pages for a general term, it might not be realistic to expect to rank highly for that phrase. But if you check out the websites who are already on the first page for that particular phrase, you might discover that they're not doing such a great job, and that if you did a better job, you could have a good chance of actually landing a spot on the first page. So the other thing I want to say is don't assume that you can't compete for a very popular phrase. You know, check out your competition, because you just might be surprised. You might discover that there are some things they're not doing that are fairly simple, that if you did do them, and you've got lots of links to your site, you could actually take their place.
Mm.
You know, I actually chose niches that had quite a lot of competition, not masses, but enough to mean that it wasn't going to be easy, and yet I managed to get a first page spot quite quickly. You know, it can be done.
Yeah, because I know in your case, Lynn, I think I'm right in saying that your first website, which was when you started building up your knowledge of SEO, was around your Christian life coaching.
Right.
And, I mean, I know simply from the involvement I've had with you over the last year or two that that's actually a highly competitive niche to be in. There are an incredible number of Christian life coaches, I find.
There are, yes. And I actually appeared on the first page within a few weeks, and it wasn't long before I was number one in the UK, and I have been for many, many months, and even in the States now, I think my site comes up at number three for Christian life coaching, so it is actually quite doable.
Yeah. The other thing just that I just want to take from what you were just saying there is the kind of the reminder that obviously all of our websites have a number of different pages, that it isn't about finding, you know, two or three keywords or keyword phrases and using those for all of our pages, because obviously people do come to our, we sometimes assume that people are going to just always land on our homepage, but in actual fact people can come to our website through any of the pages that are on our website. And so it is important, you've said, that we think about, you know, different sets of keywords depending on the particular page.
Very, very definitely. I'm finding with the first website that I built that I have more visitors now for another phrase than I do for Christian life coaching. And that surprised me greatly. But had that page not been there, then those many, many visitors, and it is many in a month, they wouldn't have arrived at my site. So it really is worth spreading the net wide, should I say, as long as you make sure that the words that you target actually do fit with your theme, make sure that they're connected, that they are relevant, then you can spread the net fairly wide.
Yes. Yeah, and just also while I think of it, it reminds me, Lynn, when I was involved in your last mentor program, one of the things which I found highly useful was the way you took us through websites that were appearing on page one or page two of Google for certain niches, for certain keywords, and actually almost kind of analysed why those websites were so high up, and that just occurred to me because I know that you'll mention your next program at some point on this call, and that was just something that was incredibly useful, you know, to see, as you say, why, you know, it can be surprising sometimes to see the sites that are ranking highly, but you explained all of that very nicely on the mentor program.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the reason that they're ranking highly is simply that they've been around a long time, and with search engines, age matters. It does make a difference. If you've had a website for a few years and you've got quite a few links pointing to it, then you may not have the best content, but because your site's been around for a while and because you've got lots of links, you will probably have a first page position. But somebody comes along who is very eager and very passionate about what they do, and they can provide better content that's more targeted. Some of these websites have been around so long that they people haven't gone in, they haven't made changes, and if you look at them carefully, you can see where there are holes, and if you can do a better job, you really can have that first page position.
No, absolutely, and you have shown by personal example, and as have many of your clients, that you know, even without the benefit of age, you know, if you're smart and proactive, then you can be ranking up there highly within a relatively short period of time. Okay.
Yep.
So, Lynn, we're convinced about keywords. We know they're important. We know all about them, but awful, difficult question for us is, how then do we choose the best keywords for our websites? How do we know? What do we do?
It can be a bit daunting, can't it? Just the initial idea of keyword research, trying to come up with the perfect combination of words to drive customers to your site, to drive up your conversion rate and get the engines to see you as an expert. It can actually give some people a bit of a headache. I know one or two people who hate the thought of keyword research. It's really not difficult. It's just a matter of starting slowly. And using keyword research tools, there are some very good tools around, and it's just a matter of coming up with enough words to cover all the services that your site offers. So if you use keyword research tools to help you to brainstorm the keyword phrases and find related keywords that you haven't thought about, and then you just find out which of those words and phrases are searched for the most, and check out the top 10 websites competing for that phrase. That's basically what you're doing. So what do you do when you go and you use your keyword research tool? I would suggest actually starting off with quite a broad term. So if I was in the weight loss industry, I might just put weight loss in there and then ask the research tool to come up with some related phrases and just see what it throws up. If you use something like Word Tracker, the paid tool, it will come up with lots and lots of related phrases that you probably had never thought about, and it will use synonyms for you too and bring up sometimes if you've got quite a broad niche, you can actually end up with thousands of phrases and then have to weed them out. But what you're really looking for is you're looking for fairly high searches. You do want people to actually be searching for the words that you're planning to target, but not quite so much competition, because that will make it easier to get on the first page. I mean, we've already said that you can take popular terms and compete, but just when you're starting off, it might be easier just to go after something that's not quite so competitive. When you do that, when you use the tools, you're probably going to get some clues as to what to search for next. You'll get ideas. You can use a free keyword research tool. That's fine. They'll give you a general idea. But if you want to make sure that you've got the best information, then I'd consider paying to using a keyword research tool. I discovered today that Word Tracker have actually got a different free trial now. They're now offering a 7-day trial, a free trial of their full tool. You never used to be able to get that. And the idea is that they'll give you, it helps you to see the full power of the tool.
Yeah.
So you could have a whole week where you can go and play and really find out what the best keywords are. So now is the time, if you've ever wanted to try it but haven't fancied paying, now is the time to go and have a look. I'll send you a link out to that later, because I only discovered it today.
Okay. And, Lynn, am I right in saying that previously, because I know I've used some of these in the past, am I right in saying you used to get, like, just a two-hour trial, or am I imagining?
2 hours, and it wasn't even the full tool. It was limited. So you didn't even get the full power of it. So I think it's marvellous. They've obviously decided that it's worth doing, because when people see what the full tool can do, they're more likely to pay for more. But you don't have to. You can just save all your research up for this free period if you want to. Do it all at once.
Very good. And, Lynn, you're going to...
I was very excited when I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. You're saying that you'll send out the link to that, because I know even I can't remember what it is, but will you send that out in your notes afterwards?
I will. I will send that out after the call. In fact, I mean, I can give it out now, and I'll send it out again afterwards as well.
Yeah.
It's just http://// and then lynnlee.com/WordTracker7-day trial, and that'll take you straight there, and you really do get the whole thing. But there is another tool that people tend not to use a lot for keyword research, because I don't think they realize how powerful it is. But Google have have the most searches on the internet. The information in their database is actually the most accurate because they get the most searches, and they do have a free keyword research tool. The only problem with it is that they don't give you any figures. They just give you search volume. But you could go and use their tool. There's a link to that in the notes. And to find out which phrases are the most popular, and then go and use WordTracker to find out roughly how many times that phrase is searched for and whether it's worth targeting. And the other thing that WordTracker will do is it actually calculates how competitive that word is, how likely you are to be able to rank highly. It does all the calculations that you might not want to do by yourself.
Mm.
It's got a horrible phrase. They call it KEI. It's Keyword Effectiveness Index, and it's just a measure of how profitable that particular word or phrase is likely to be. So what you're looking for when you're searching is you're just looking for as many relevant phrases as possible. And you really do want a fairly chunky list because the more ways people have got of finding your site, the better.
Yes.
In the end, you need to choose a keyword tool that you're going to feel comfortable using and do some brainstorming. Just gather a big master list of keywords and check out the competition for those phrases and then decide which keywords you're actually going to target. You can't target them all at once. Pick out the ones that are likely to be the most profitable and have a go at those and be sure to optimize each page around its own keywords. Mm. Don't use the same keywords for every page on your site. That's a mistake.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, just a practical point, Lynn, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when we're thinking about designing our websites, is there a sense that the more pages a website has, the better? The more content a website has, the better? Or is that not relevant?
It's actually very relevant. Some people stop at 5 pages because they're paying somebody else to do their site for them, and that's really all they want to run to. If you are going to have a 5-page website, then it is possible to be ranked highly, but you do need to make sure that each of those pages has got a decent amount of keyword-rich content. Otherwise, that particular site isn't going to rank very, very highly.
Yeah.
Okay. Search engines are in. What they want to do is they always want to turn up the most relevant results. The more content you have, the more relevant content you have, the more likely you are to be ranked highly in search results. So you could even go as far as to set yourself a goal of perhaps adding a page every week. That's not as daunting as it sounds. It can just be an article, a keyword-rich article. And add one a week. If one a week is too much, then add one a month. It's a way of adding fresh content to your site as well, because that's the other thing they like. They like fresh content.
I think that's an excellent tip, actually. And it hadn't really directly occurred to me previously to even think about numbers of pages. But thanks for jogging my memory there. So we're starting to get keywords. Now, where do these keywords need to go, Lynn? Because it isn't I won't preempt what you're going to say. But explain to us now. Now we've done our keyword research. We know that we need quite a number of keywords. What the heck do we do with them once we've got them?
Well, you need to focus each page on just one or two keywords. You can put variations of that particular keyword on the page, but you really don't want to focus a page on more than one or two keywords. It's a mistake to do that. And then it's just a matter of putting those keywords in the text that your visitors can see and in the coding behind the website. If you don't do your own website, then your webmaster can do that for you. And it's really important to spend time getting this right, because the search engines decide how high to list your site in search results based on the way you use your keywords on the page. They're looking for the most relevant sites for the search phrase, so you need to give them what they're looking for. So when you plan your website pages, have your keyword list in front of you, and also have a checklist of where the keywords need to go, and just make sure that you put your keywords in all the right places. So this is what you're looking for. Just a quick run through, really, because we haven't got lots of time today. But ideally, your keywords need to be in the domain name. Now, that's not crucial, so don't panic if you haven't got your keywords in your domain name. But it can help to show that your site is relevant to the search. It certainly doesn't hurt to have keywords in the domain name. And I always make sure, whenever I start a new site, that I have got keywords in the domain name. I actually think it's quite important.
Yeah.
The other place is file name. So always create a file name based on your main keyword for the page. Each page of your website has its own file name, and it needs to have your keywords in it. And then there's the page title. Now the title tells the search engines and your visitors what the page is about. You don't see it on your website. It actually forms the first line in search engine results, and it's very, very important to make sure you have your keywords there.
Mm.
And then there's the description. This isn't seen on your website either. It's a bit like an advertisement for your page, and that's what you see underneath the title in the search results. But the description should always have your keywords in it, but also a good call to action, a good reason to actually click through to your site rather than somebody else's.
Mm.
And then there's the keyword tag. Now, again, this is something that's behind the website. You don't see it. It's not as important as it used to be. Some search engines really don't take much notice of it at all because it's been abused. So don't stuff the tag with keywords and only include keywords in that tag that are relevant to the particular page. So it's actually all right to just have three or four keywords in a keyword tag. You don't need to have loads.
Okay.
And then the other place that you need it is on the page. In a headline, each page needs a headline with keywords. The keywords close to the beginning of the headline as possible. And then throughout the page, you want it near the beginning of the first paragraph in subheadings, scattered just throughout the page. If you're looking to know how often it should appear, then probably somewhere between 3 and 5%, out of every 100 words, you want your keywords to appear between 3 or 5 times. That's just a rough rule of thumb.
Very useful.
And then in anchor text as well, that's clickable links on your page. Instead of just putting in the full address, create anchor text, which is just words that people can click on that will take them through to another page or to another site. When you do that, make sure that those clickable links actually use your keywords, because the search engines love to see that. And the other place that you need them, search engines can't read text in graphics. They only read plain text. So make sure that any graphics you have on your site are actually named with your keywords so that Google knows what they're about. That's called an alt image tag. It's quite simple. It's quite straightforward. They do need to be named with your keywords, though. It's lots of points in your favor. And that's really as much as you need to know about on-page optimization. That's where your keywords need to be. And if you go and look at some of those websites on the first page of results, you'll find that some of them don't actually have their keywords in all of those places. And that's why it's possible for you to take their place. Because if you do and they haven't, you've got a good chance of being there instead.
Mm.
So just remember that each page needs its own set of keywords. Google ranks your site page by page. You get individual rank for every page. And if you use your keywords in all the right places, I think you could be pleasantly surprised.
Mm. Fabulous, fabulous. Lynn, I just want to clarify something with you. You talked about keyword tags. Is that the same as what we sometimes talk about meta tags?
I just didn't throw that word in there because I thought some people might not like it. But yes, we're talking about meta tags. That's with the keyword tags, with the title and with the description. They're all meta tags, and they're all code that lie behind the page. They're there to tell the search engines what the page is about.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's I think just hearing you talk about all of that, it has made me, in the past when I first heard you sort of clarifying this, makes me look at the Google sort of search engine listings differently, when I now understand why, you know, those certain titles and descriptions appear on Google, even though we can't necessarily see them. We can't necessarily see, or we can't see, the page description on our own website. But it's something really that we've put in what I call the kind of the back office that will appear on Google if people find our website.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Wow. So, I mean, keywords. I know it's a big thing, perhaps, you know, for some of us to get our heads around, but in actual fact, it is purely logical. It makes sense that the content that is relevant to our niche or our business, that we need to make sure that content has got the words that people are searching, that people are actually searching for. And as you've described there, those tools, free or paid for, are there to actually just help us. Really, they help do our research for us, don't they, Lynn?
They do. They're wonderful. They go and gather information, and they gather it so quickly. They're there to be used, and yeah, especially this offer that WordTracker have at the moment. It's worth making good use of it and going off and finally drilling down and finding the words that people are using to search for what you've got.
Great. Fabulous. Okay. Lynn, earlier on in the call, I was just referring back to two things. One were keywords. The other thing was about links.
Yep.
So if we've said enough about keywords for the moment, can we just spend a little time just talking about links? And so, just want to ask you, how do we get links to our website? Are we relying on other kind people to mention us on their website? So how does that work?
Well, sometimes people do, actually, but if you wait around for that to happen, you could wait for a long time and you might not get very many. There are actually lots of ways to get links, and I think it's important to be very proactive with this. Some of the ways are actually more time-consuming than others, so you need to choose a link-building strategy that appeals to you and plays to your strengths, and then actually schedule some time in to build links, make it part of your daily routine. And the reason I say that is that links to your site are as important as the on-page optimization. The on-page stuff, just getting your keywords in the right places, is important, but getting links to your site is equally important.
Yeah.
I don't think people generally don't realize that, but it actually makes a lot of difference to your rankings. And the reason for that is simply that the search engines see links to your site as a vote for your page.
Yeah.
So you need to concentrate on getting links. One-way links are best. Reciprocal links, that's you linking to somebody and them linking to you, they're not as important as they used to be. Google guidelines tell you to make sure that you keep your linking strategy natural. So don't try to fool Google, and don't resort to something called link farms. A link farm is just a site that's not much more than a long list of links. Being part of that will do you more harm than good, actually. The search engines prefer links that are surrounded by content that are related to your keywords. So don't take part in link schemes that are just designed to increase your site's page rank or your ranking, because the benefits will be very short-lived. Google isn't easily fooled. So you need lots of one-way links, preferably quality links from high-ranking sites. A one-way link is really much more valuable than a reciprocal link.
Mm.
And a one-way link from a high Google page rank site is even more valuable. So it's not just any old link. You're really looking for quality links. And when I say a quality link, I'm talking about a link from what I would call an authority site or a site that's got high Google PageRank.
Yeah.
Yeah. So articles, I'm bound to say this, aren't I, because I love writing articles and I've really got into this in a big way, but articles are a great way of getting links from lots of different sites, which is what you're trying to do, because if you write articles and you put them in an article directory like Ezine Articles, not only do you get a link from Ezine Articles, which incidentally has got a Google PageRank of 6, so is an authority site, but you also get links from all the websites that choose to use your article on their site. So writing articles is a way of building links from lots of different websites quite quickly. Another way is to write press releases. I haven't done this myself, but I know people who do. You can write a press release and get links to your site. It's a place called PRWeb, has some very easy-to-follow guidelines on their site. And what, if you do decide to go down that route, just make good use of your keywords when you write the press release and follow the guidelines clearly. And comment on other people's blogs. You know, go into Google, do a search for your keyword and put plus blog, and that will help you to find related blogs. And just go and find a post that you can make a comment on. Actually add something to the post. Don't just say nice blog. Your comment needs to add value. And if it does, then people are likely to actually click through to your site to see who's making the comments. So you may get some more visitors that way. But also it provides a link to your site. You can check out the page rank of the blog if you've got the Google toolbar installed in your web browser. Blogs with a page rank of 4 and above are well worth leaving comments on. I'm not saying don't bother leaving comments on blogs that haven't got any Google page rank, because if there's an interesting conversation going on, it's worth actually leaving a link. But if the pages that you leave comments on have got a high Google page rank, then it's just a more valuable link. That's all I'm trying to say. And you can post in forums and have a link in your signature file. Make use of community and social media sites. You can post your own content there with links, or you can create a profile page. That's quite a good strategy. You've got places like LinkedIn, 360.yahoo.com, Facebook, Ning, Wetpaint. There are lots of others, and you can actually go and make a profile page and create a link back to your site. Submit your site to relevant niche directories. That will get you a link as well. And start a blog if you haven't already got one, and link it to your site. You can submit that blog to blog carnivals, to blog directories, and you can soon have lots of links coming in.
But what I like, Lynn, about the conversations I have with you is that every time I talk to you, you have always found, you know, yet another resource or website or something. I mean, I have not even come across 360.yahoo.com, and I haven't come across something called, did you say Ning?
Ning, you've come across Ning, haven't you?
Yeah.
No?
So, as I say, it's always interesting to have someone like you who is, you know, 23 steps ahead of my game. I mean, you mentioned PRWeb. I know you said you haven't used it yourself. Lynn, do you know, is that something that's free, or do we have to pay to get onto PRWeb?
It used to be free. I think you actually have to pay now. I think there probably still are some sites around where you can have a free press release, but I don't know enough about it to be able to say.
Okay.
But if you went into Google and you put in there free press release, I'm sure you'd find something.
Yeah.
Or you can go into forums and ask the question. There'll be somebody out there who knows.
Okay. The other thing you mentioned, Ezine Articles, which is ezinearticles.com. And I know from personal experience that is a very, very speedy way of getting onto the first page of Google. It's magical. And in fact, I can't believe they've only got a page rank of 6, because I would have thought, although 6 is fantastic, but I find ezinearticles.com in particular is really good for helping SEO.
Yeah, if you have a keyword-rich article. If you've been careful about where you put the keywords when you write your article, then you're absolutely right. You can end up on the first page of Google for those keywords from an article as easy in articles. And you might end up on the first page there, but if you put the same article on your website, you may not, because they have they're more of an authority site. They have this Google page rank of 6. And, in fact, I'd be prepared to wager that if you put one on your site and put one on Google, that Google would get the first page ranking, not you.
You mean easy articles? Yeah.
That's what I meant.
That's right.
That the article in easy articles would actually get the first page ranking on Google.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm not going to bet you anything there, Lynn, because I happen to agree with you.
Okay. I'm not really a betting woman, but there you are.
Yes, and of course the other thing, sorry, but just to say, because of personal experience, is that with Easy in Articles, I know that when I've written articles, I really have started with my keywords and written my articles around those keywords, rather than writing the articles and then trying to work out what my keywords were. So again, at the risk of stating the obvious, just to say that that's something that personally has worked well for me, as it should. Start with my keywords and then construct the article around those.
You will be more successful if you do that. However, if you struggle to write articles like that, then it is possible to write the article first and then go through and carefully insert your keywords in all the right places. But it's much easier to do it your way, Mary.
And of course, Lynn, sorry, but I'm forgetting that you're also an authority on article writing, so let's not even go there. I think that's the subject of a whole other teleseminar, but I'd forgotten that. Okay, so Lynn, can you talk to us a little bit about Google PageRank? What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, we probably need to do that fairly quickly. PageRank is just an indication of the popularity of a page. It's generally a measure of incoming links, and it indicates how important Google thinks the page is. Inward-pointing links are just links to your site from other websites, from directories, forums, resource boxes and articles, somebody linking to you from outside, and also links from your own pages to other pages on your website. They count too, and each link is a vote for the page. And the more links a page has, the higher the page rank will be. And each page on your site actually builds its own page rank. You know, but as I said before, all links aren't created equal. Some are more valuable than others. So concentrate your efforts on getting links from authority sites. You can have a site at number one in the search results that has no page rank at all. My article writing and marketing site was number one for article writing and marketing for 3 months before it showed any page rank, because it actually takes Google that long to update its rankings when it comes to page rank. It's also possible for sites to have a good page rank and yet not be on the first page of Google. It really is a measure of links rather than much else. Google page rank just suggests that it's something important enough to link to. You can actually download a toolbar from Google so that you can see page rank at a glance. It's free, and you'll find it really useful when you're looking for blogs to leave comments on.
Okay. Cool. Okay, well, moving swiftly on, because I'm conscious of our time. You've talked quite a bit, Lynn, about keywords and links. Is there more to search engine optimization than that?
Well, to be honest, there is. I'm actually quite glad you asked that question, because people forget very basic things, really. Search engine optimization and better rankings aren't going to keep your visitors on your site once they arrive, and they're not going to make them want to buy. Part of optimizing your site is making sure that you've got enough interesting information on your site to make sure your visitors become interested in your products or your services and they actually hang around. As I said before, search engines love fresh content, and the more you provide, the more likely you're going to be ranked highly. The key to free search engine traffic is lots of keyword-rich, useful content. Search engines want to provide the most relevant results, and Google's guidelines clearly state that they favor unique, relevant content. So when people search, they're usually looking for some very specific information or to solve a problem. And if your website provides solution to problems, the search engines will love you. So if you want lots of search engine traffic, you need lots of unique quality content. Your site needs to have clear, interesting information. It needs to be attractively laid out and be really easy to navigate. You need to design your site so that you get your most wanted response from your visitors, whether that's for them to opt in for a free gift so that you can keep in touch, whether that's to call you or to actually buy something. People very rarely buy on their first visit to your site. You know, more sales take place after a period of follow-up than ever happen on a first visit to your website. So if all your website says is hire me now or buy now, you're not going to have any opportunity to follow up with your visitors, and your site's just going to be like a leaky sieve. Most people will visit your site once, and they'll never come back. They might put you in favorites, but they'll forget to come back and visit you again. So you need to give your first-time visitors a reason to stay in touch with you. And this is all part of optimizing your website. So you need to offer a free report or a short e-course or some sort of an assessment or an audio, you know, so that they can actually get to know what you've got to offer. And then the important part is, once you've got their email address, once they're in your system, to follow up, you know, not with lots of offers, but with more useful information and gentle reminders about how you can help. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is building traffic to their website but not getting their visitors' email address so they can stay in touch. You need to build a relationship with your visitors. I was talking to somebody the other day who has people on her list. I think she mentioned some that she's had on her list for over a year, and you've been sending them out content faithfully, and it was over a year before they bought anything at all from her. But then they actually bought quite a lot, because by then they'd grown to like her, they'd grown to know her, they trusted what she was doing, and they were ready to buy. So she would never have had that opportunity if she hadn't optimized her site by making sure she had an opt-in box so that she could collect their email address.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely important, vital points. And again, you know, just reflecting back, Lynn, what you're saying there, you know, we can learn all about SEO. We can make sure that our sites rank highly. But most important, we want people not to come to our website and feel cheated because they're now not getting what they thought they were getting. But we want them to, number one, find great content, and number two, we want to make sure that we can keep them there, or rather keep them in our reservoir by finding a way to get their contact details.
Very definitely.
Okay, okay. So, Lynn, you know, we're ready to get started. What do we need to do next? What's the next step?
I really hope people are ready to get started, because, you know, one of us, I'm actually giving away some very good information on this call, and people could go away with the information that they have now and make quite a big difference to their sites. But I know that some people are just going to listen to this but not do much with it. You know, and yet, if you would just take hold of it and actually put some of this into action, you'd be streets ahead of your competitors. Some people on my last course, you know, they paid for the course. They enjoyed the classes. They said it was great, you know, but they didn't actually do much with all the information I shared. They've got keys they're not using. Their business is going to be in pretty much the same place in 6 months as it is now. There were people who took my course, actually use the information, and they're seeing great improvements. So I just say to everybody, just make sure you take action. You know, develop a long-term plan. Create a clear set of goals for your website. If you check the study guide, you'll find I've given you links to two websites where you can put in the address of a page and see how well that page is optimized for your keywords. I recommend that you do that. You go and find out what your starting point is so that you can see what you need to focus on to optimize your website. If your score is really low, it doesn't matter. You can soon change that if you follow the steps that I'm outlining. I had somebody who took my book. She worked through it. She scored 10 out of 100, and she was a bit fed up with that. But she took action. She took the steps that I outlined. She showed her web designer the changes she wanted to make. And before long, you know, her site was scoring 100 out of 100. And she went on to see a big increase in visitor numbers, you know, as her site climbed in the rankings. Okay. So you can do some pretty simple things to improve your rankings. Just take the steps I've outlined. We've run out of time pretty much.
I know.
I will, I promise, answer the questions that I was asked, because some people did send some questions in through the webcast, and I want them to know that they will have answers to their questions. You know, but if you're working on a shoestring budget, you know, you could consider just investing in my book, Optimize Your Website, because it's packed with useful links, very detailed instructions on how to do all of the stuff we've covered tonight, plus much, much more. You've got the link to follow to go and have a look. And as Marion mentioned, I've got a new mentor program coming up. It's very, very affordable. There are 5 60-minute teleclasses, a dedicated Google group where you can ask questions and get support. And if you're one of the first 30 to register, you also get 30 minutes one-to-one with me, taking a look at your website and just asking me whatever you want to ask me. So have a look and see if it's for you. Over to you, Marion. Do you want to ask me those? I think we have got a couple of questions, if people don't mind hanging on for a little while.
If that's okay, and I think we should say, because it is just, we're just on the hour, and for people who can stay on the webcast or on the phone, cool, but on the basis that this call is recorded and it's available to everyone, if anyone has to shoot off, they can always come back and just listen to the last, you know, 10 minutes or so of the call. Is that okay with you, Lynn?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I think it would be a great shame not to answer the questions that came in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm just double checking to see if anything extra has come in. Now, okay, so we've got a question from Jean. She says, "What is the secret to uptake?" I'm not certain I understand that, Lynn, but you probably do.
I think I worked out what I thought she meant. Okay. And I'm trying to. I did actually prepare an answer, but here it is. So, yeah, what's the secret to uptake? I think she's really asking just getting more people to actually take you up on the offer that you make on your website, getting people to actually buy or to take up your services. And, you know, I wish I knew the secret because I'd be worth a lot of money. But I think really the important thing is to imply a benefit in the headline. Make sure that your pages have got a headline. Include benefits in your text as well. People are looking for what's in it for them. So you need to make sure that your site offers solutions to problems, gives something away that solves the problem, and then follow that up with more useful information. Connect with your visitor, build a relationship, you know, make them an irresistible offer. Make sure that whatever you give away has got great value and leaves them wanting more. Mm. And make sure that you've got a clear call to action on every page and that everything on your website passes the so what test. That's really important. And, of course, some of the other things that we mentioned before, which is just making sure that you've got good content, that there's something worth having on your site. Your site really mustn't be about you. It's got to be about your visitor and about their problems and the solutions that you have to those problems. So just give them an opportunity to get to know, like, and trust you. Like Suzanne, who I mentioned earlier, she had someone on her list for a very, very long time. And I do that as well. I have people who download my freebies. They just hang around on the fringes. And then months later, they decide that they want me to coach them because they've had a chance to get to know me. So I think that's what you need to do. Just demonstrate your expertise, both on your site and in any mailings that you send out to people.
Yes. And of course, in reality, we are never going to convert, but a relatively small percentage of our visitors. But the more site visitors we have, then you know, the more that quantity is going to be, even if it's a relatively small percentage. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's true.
The better. As long as you say, you know, we want targeted traffic, don't we? We don't want. There's no point spending time and money trying to attract people who aren't part of our target market.
That's right.
Lynn, can I move on to another question? This is from Pat. And Pat says, I'm totally new at this. My web page was done by someone else who's not available now. So I'm frantically studying to learn how to build a new site. What's the most simple thing I can do to bring people to purchase my product? Pens. So what's the most simple thing I can do to bring people to purchase my pens online? And they say the program I'm learning is NetObjects Fusion Pen. And they say it does have a meta tags function. Now, can you answer that one, Lynn?
I think I can. I actually did a bit of detective work, and even though there wasn't much information to go on, I did go and find Pat's site, so I had a little look around, and I just wanted to say, you know, well done for being so determined to get to grips with making changes to your site, because it's quite daunting if you haven't done that sort of thing before, and I just hope that this course encouraged you to believe that you can actually do it. We've actually answered a lot of your question already. It's a matter of following the steps that I've outlined, doing some keyword research, making sure that you put those keywords in your meta tags, and providing some great content and benefits on your site, and testimonials from people who've bought your products and are pleased with them. That will help a lot. Social proof is very important. And the other thing I noted on your site was you need to make sure that you're very clear about your unique selling point. Why your pens? You know, what's the compelling reason to buy? And go and check out your competition. I had a look. You do have some competition, but I think you've got a good chance there. So just choose your keywords carefully. Go and do the research. Make sure that you find the words that people are actually using to search for what you've got. And then do the on-page optimization and get busy doing some link building. And have you got anything to add to that, Marion? Because I know you're quite good on the business side.
I would certainly agree with what you've said there, Lynn. I mean, I think knowing what your kind of unique selling point is, know why your product or your service is offers something to people that someone else's doesn't, and again as we have talked about, you know, knowing who your target market is, because to me that's essential. There's no point spending either time or money or both of those things drawing lots of people to your site who actually are just not looking for what you're offering. So I think when we're clear about who we want to attract to our sites, that really does help us know. I mean, as you know, I create websites as one of the businesses that I operate. And, you know, it's about, I think, your site reflecting your target market, so having the right look, the right type of content for them. And again, as we've also mentioned earlier in the call, the aspect of, finding a way to get people's contact details, a way to get their permission to stay, for you to stay in touch with them, and to give them good information or you know, useful resources before you actually try and sell them something, because I don't think it goes down well to start ramming our products or our services down our target market's throat at all. I think sometimes softly is a better approach, because
definitely.
Yeah, I
agree. I knew you'd have something very useful to add to that question, which is why I asked you, because you're a very talented lady.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and Lynn, if we've just got time, maybe for just one or two other, I hope, sort of fairly quick questions, because as you know, I'm sort of an aficionado of blogging and blogs, and that's how I actually got into my website designing. And we haven't specifically talked about blogs tonight as opposed to websites. So, you know, is there anything different about, you know, optimizing our blogs rather than our websites? Anything that you need to tell us?
Well, the basic principles are the same, whether it's a website or whether it's a blog. A blog is a website. It's just a website by another name, and obviously that it has content that's renewed and refreshed quite often. Each blog entry is actually a web page, and it has a file name. So you don't always have a lot of control over the file name with blogs. If you have a self-hosted WordPress blog, then you've got full control over that. So that's the one thing that you might not have a lot of control over. It depends on the blogging platform that you use. Mm. Now, TypePad actually allow you to create a description for your blog and a keyword-rich title. You can also allocate keywords to each post. So it allows you to put your keywords in most of the right places, and I know that it allows you to add what we call an alt image tag to the images, so it does allow you to name the images using your keywords as well. In fact, WordPress does that too. So you can actually do a lot on your blogs. You just need to make sure that you write your posts with your keywords in mind, just like you were talking about with the articles, and give your posts well-thought-out, keyword-rich titles. And when you're writing the title for the post, make sure that you have your keywords as close to the beginning of the title as possible. Again, that's true whether it's a website or whether it's a blog. You can actually control the on-page search engine optimization, whatever blog platform you choose. So just put your keywords in all the right places and use keywords in the tags. I think you can add technorati tags to blogs. They're pretty much like keywords, but they're a way of being indexed in a big blog search engine, if you like, but for want of anything better. And of course, you can build links to your blog just like you can to your website. So actually there really isn't a lot of difference. I think occasionally, depending on the platform you use, you might find that are one or two little things that you can't do quite so well as you do on a website. But generally speaking, I think you can do most of it. I recently worked with the accountant's coach. She's got a TypePad blog. I know she's now got the number one spot for accountant's coach. So it's possible to apply all of this to blogs and to be ranked very highly.
Yeah, okay. And one, I promise, final question, Lynn, if that's okay, because, you know, that we can sometimes have to wait a little time before getting on to the first page of Google, but based on keywords that people are putting in. So, you know, any final tips on how we get visitors to our websites just while we're waiting for Google to index us and rank us highly? Any tips on what we can do?
Really, it's pretty much all of what I've already said. The other thing you can do, and I know people who've had great success with this, is to actually buy Google AdWords. You know, but if you choose that route, you've got to tread ever so carefully. You know, set a very low daily budget and get some very good advice first. Do your homework, because it's possible to lose a lot of money using Google AdWords. You need to target keywords very, very carefully. I mean, other than that, you just get visitors to your site by leaving a trail of links. The best advice I would give to anybody doing this is to write articles. That's how I started getting traffic to my site before I was on the first page of Google, writing keyword-rich articles. It brought visitors to my site from the word go. And the other thing is, again, to make comments on blogs and in forums. I think the thing I'd say about commenting in blogs and forums, I could perhaps expand on that a little bit. Just make sure you check the forum guidelines before you actually post. hang out a bit first and get to know the people. Don't blatantly promote yourself. Just make sure you add value. You can build your reputation on the forum by posting useful comments. So listen into the conversations, become a valuable contributor, answer people's questions, and let your signature file do your advertising for you. We've mentioned a signature file before, but we haven't said much about it. It's just a useful way of getting people to visit your site without blatantly advertising. It's usually about 3 or 4 lines with a call to action and a link to your site. It just reminds people of your website, helps them to become familiar with who you are and what you do, and it makes it easy for them to go to your site because they can just click on the link. You can actually create different signatures for different situations, and you can use your signature file to announce a new article even or a product and give people a reason to click through to your site again to make sure that they actually revisit. You could start just taking notice of the signature files that come into your inbox from various people and begin to model the best of what you see. It's surprising, actually, how effective that can be.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I certainly built my first newsletter list simply on having a great email signature with a fantastic testimonial, and that regularly was my almost my one and only marketing tool for my newsletter. So I know that works. Wow, Lynn, I can't believe how quickly that time has gone, and we've actually as I'm not all that surprised. We've gone 15 minutes over the hour, and you know, I'm so grateful that that we could carry on, Lynn, and just get some of those questions in, because
we still have people on the webcast listening too, so they obviously wanted to hear what we had to say.
Well, absolutely, and I just think it's you know, it is definitely a subject which so many of us are fascinated by, because you know, without it, the most beautiful website is you know, is wasted if we don't have people coming to check us out, whether it's a business website or, you know, our, I don't know, embroidery website, whatever it may be. You know, if we've got a website up, then we do want people to visit. So, and I just think that, you know, people like yourself are, you know, where you have got that much more knowledge about this subject, it's just, you know, so fascinating to get this kind of information from you, Lynn. And what I take away from this is that actually there are many, many different things that we can do to help our optimization. We don't have to do them all at once, do we? We can pick, you know, 2 or 3 of them and get started with those, I think.
We definitely recommend taking one step at a time, because it can seem so daunting, and actually very small changes can make a lot of difference. So you could just set about looking at one page at a time, and really you don't have to do everything at once.
Yes. So it might be that, as you say, take one page at a time or take one article at a time, you know, think about creating a new email signature. So it's not about feeling overwhelmed by all the things that we could do. It's about taking one or two and getting those sorted and then moving on to the next.
Yeah, okay. Very definitely.
So, Lynn, just remind us, your website is, just make sure you give the right one.
Yeah, it's there in the in the guide, in the action guide, but it's just www.seoissimple.com. That takes you through to the book. If you want the mentor program, you need to add a / mentor-program.html, but it's there in the guide. I'd certainly take a look. I would say that, wouldn't I? But that's because I thoroughly believe in what I do, and I think I offer something very, very valuable. Mm-hmm. But if you can't think about spending that kind of money just now, then I'd go and get the book, because it's mm-hmm. packed with very, very useful information.
I can second that. I can verify that from personal experience. It has got a huge amount of fantastic information, your book, Lynn, and I know that that you are always doing little tweaks and updates. So, okay. Lynn, it's been fantastic talking to you, as always. Hope you'll enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much for the great content you've given us this evening, and I hope we'll speak again soon.
I'm sure we will, Marion. I want to say thank you to you for hosting the call. Really appreciate your time and doing that for me. And thank you to everybody who's still here on the webcast.
Yeah. Well, it's a good topic, Lynn, and it's fun we want to know more about. So there you go.
I'll be sending an email out to make sure that people can get to the replay. I know that Cherry Campbell was saying, can we record this? I hope you get this in time. And it is recorded, and we will make sure you get the recording.
Absolutely. And we're just starting to see actually now some comments from people on the webcast saying that that it's appreciated and how much they've enjoyed it, Lynn, and very clear and useful. So thank you so much to those of you who are giving us such positive feedback. Off I go, Lynn.
All right, then. Good night, everybody.
Speak again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.